In the wire. Yes! It is Thursday. It is 9. So, of course, it's UK Cowboys time. How are we doing, guys? And how are we feeling after the busy weekend?
Glad it's over.
Yeah. Go on, Craig.
Yeah. Yeah, same. It's, you know, it seemed to be build up, and then the long weekend. So, feel knackered now.
Yeah. I spoke to Barry from Cowboys Experience at the start of the week, obviously to go over the show with us lot. And he said, "How are you feeling?" I said, "Do you know what? I feel jet lagged." That's the best way to describe it.
And I'm the best person to actually talk about that.
This guy right here, he's always jet lagged. He's jet lagged right now and he hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the final draft show of 2024. So thank you for joining us. I am going to give a big shout out, first of all, guys. I want to give a big shout out to the 11,000 people that joined us over the draft weekend. Guys are amazing. Brilliant. Everybody on the podcast as well. You guys are freaking awesome. So it's been one of the best draft weekends in terms of what we did on the show here. And we've got you guys to thank for it. So congratulations to the Yukies.
Woo! That's amazing. 11,000.
Yeah,
that's from downloads, live stream, re-watching the stream, everything in total.
The whole shebang. So, people, you are amazing. So, yes, we are going to do a review now of the Cowboys draft. We're going to go through it, although behind the scenes, that's all going on anyway. For these guys, the guys who have been drafted, this is only just the beginning. For us, it's the end. But for them, we haven't even started yet.
Correction, mate. It's the end for you till next year.
Oh, yeah. Well, my 2020, I've got some guys on my board already. I've got, I think it's 82 players on there at the moment.
Well, I'll be honest. One player really stood out for me. It's the running back from Cal, Jaden Ott. Man, yeah. He looks good.
Yeah, I mean, he is good. I mean, like the running back class next year is very significantly different. And here we go. We've got a new guy. We've got Tim in the house.
Tim's came in and watched the stream a couple of times. Good to see you, Tim. Welcome back.
Yeah. So we're a little bit more awake this time. In fact, so awake that towards the end of day three, Paul was slipping lower and lower and lower in his chair until in the end. You could just see his arm.
It was literally like this.
He was just going further and further. He's just like, Paulie, are you still with us? All you can do is, yeah, I'm still here.
No, what's that a bit from the Little Giants? Is like one of the players and the player goes, "You rang."
And I mean, like, I think me and you messed up on day one because we ended up hanging on. We went on a couple of shows on day one. We ended up hanging on one a little bit too. I think it was about 6:30 by the time we stopped doing the various rounds. We should never have done that. I think next year, one of the things I will do is when this stream stops, that's when I'll stop.
Yeah. Save a little in the tank for day two.
I didn't feel so bad. I was still kind of buzzing. You know, you still got the adrenaline going, haven't you, on day two? It's like day three, and it's like you're now into like 3 days. I timed it as well. 3 days, and I had 6 hours sleep.
Sounds like me and my whole week.
Yeah. So now we're going to get. We will get into the undrafted free agent. We're not going to do that today. But you will see my various articles on as I deep dive on all these guys. Some of them I already know. A couple, obviously, I don't. So I'm going to have to deep dive them. But I do have a few on my draft board, so that's quite handy. But go on, Paul.
I was going to say, like, and I'm not afraid to, like, and our good friend J-Tuck made a really good tweet about this. It's like, you've got a lot of people out there thinks, like, oh yeah, he's such a good player. Okay, tell me more about this player.
Yeah. And then they get backed into a corner.
I am not ashamed to admit, I have no clue about the majority of these undrafted free agents. And this is the whole learning process is getting to know these players. So, but yeah, that's I just wanted to say that because this is what we're doing. We're trying to learn more about these guys, what they're all about, and do our due diligence. It's like, okay, is there a shot for these particular players that may actually make it onto the team? Could there be an upset? Because we saw that in recent years, Marquise Bell, undrafted free agent, he made the roster. Don't forget Tony Romo, all the way back then, undrafted free agent, ended up being our starter and franchise quarterback. So it can happen.
Terrence Steele and Lyle Collins.
There you go. Well, to be fair,
Collins,
to be fair, should have been our first round draft, but he should have been. But Terrence Steele, absolutely, yeah.
Brandon Aubrey last year.
There you go.
Yeah.
Turns out to be the best kicker in the league.
Yeah.
By a long mile.
Didn't miss a kiss. Didn't miss a kick.
Kiss until...
Wait. Are you trying to tell us something here, Craig?
That's what happened when he disappeared when we were in Texas. I mean, we'll get into it. So let's start off, guys. Let's start off right at the very beginning, which is a good place to start, I suppose. Let's start with the first round pick. So what's important to know with the pick? And we actually got told this on this show as well about what was going on in the war room. Maybe we shouldn't have got told as much as we got told, but there we go. We still got told it. We're allowed to say what was said because it was broadcast on this show, right? So first of all, they trade down. Now, what happened at this point is the Cowboys were looking to draft Darius Robinson, right? Which I think is quite interesting, the pass rusher. He is good. He is good, Paul. But he went before our pick. So at that point, the Cowboys, we were informed, were going to trade down again to the Kansas City Chiefs. They were also looking to trade out of the first. We later found out that the Commanders, and this is what swung the choice, the Commanders were looking to trade back into the first and take Tyler Guyton. At that point, the Cowboys halted and took Tyler Guyton. We'll talk about Tyler Guyton in a moment, but what do you guys make of that interesting piece of information we found out on draft day?
Very interesting. We don't want to give any of our divisional rivals any advantage at all. So I think sticking at 29 was definitely the best move. We picked up an extra third round, and we will go on to talk about that third round pick,
which I'm
very, very excited about. I think it was actually really good from the Jones family actually doing the diligence. I mean, I know they had Graham Barton, a guy that I really, really wanted on the radar as well. Like, if he was there at 29, which was going to be unlikely because after, like, with Tampa Bay there and stuff like that, we knew he was going to go away. But Guyton seemed to be the more logical choice, that was going to be the pick. And we were told that from numerous people from DallasCowboys.com, like, thinking that was going to be the pick without actually officially saying it was going to be the pick and all that type of stuff. So, I'm pretty happy. Like, I'm glad that we're addressing the offensive line. It's something that you always need to keep on top of every single year. Like, whether it's bringing in some additional bodies for back for rotation or whatever. But the fact that we've pretty much got two essential starters from that one pick, like, that to me is like a massive output. And the best thing about these two picks is, like, they do bring with a lot of finishing blocks, putting people on their backsides. And that really gives you an idea of what they want to do with the identity of the run, for the offensive line. And that's improved the run game. So I'm happy.
We'll talk about the tandem of the two. Like you say, about the identity, how they move in this offensive line forward. But go on, Craig, give it to me straight on the trade, and then we'll get into Guyton.
Yeah, I mean, the I said beforehand, I just wanted to see the Cowboys do something, not just sort of let it fall to them. And I think I'm pleased that they did. I'm pleased they got to a situation where they said, look, we've got five players we would take. Let's go drop back four spots and sort of let's see what happens. So I get the feeling, as you said, Guyton was telegraphed and he was more of a safety net. I wasn't as pleased. He wasn't like one of my top favourites. But you, as Paul said, you've got to see that. And getting a third, which is more than I thought, as a combo deal. And if the Cowboys' identity, for whatever happens to the Cowboys this year, if their identity turns to, we aren't going to get punched in the mouth anymore and then look astonished like Dak did the last two playoff years, we're going to be doing the punching in the mouth, then I'm absolutely fine with that shift. And that seems like what our 29 and third round pickup do. They're mean brawlers. And yeah, if they're mean brawlers and for the next 5-8 years in Dallas, brilliant.
Yes, I agree. So, I mean, like, right, let's start off with the two initial problems people have with Tyler Guyton. Number one, right tackle. Number two, lack of experience or playing time. Now, we spoke to Mickey Spagnuolo on the whole right tackle bonanza that's going on. So, first of all, it is significant. It's significant that Tyler Guyton, yes, was right tackle, but he was the blindside blocker for a left-hand quarterback, which means he knows how to do blindside blocking. That's, first of all, very important. And secondly, he did, although he was primarily right tackle, he has taken snaps at left tackle.
And also, he did announce at the press conference he much prefers to play on the left.
Which I think most guys would, to be honest with you. I mean,
I know I do. I hated playing on the right.
I think when you're right-handed, and depending on which side of your body, I think most right-handed people tend to shift on their right a lot more because it's just that's what you're used to, I think. So that makes being able to play on the left a lot easier, if that makes any sense.
I mean, I don't think it's that much of a challenge, particularly as you said, he played that and he was cut. It was, if we just say blindside rather than right or left, he's got the experience as a blindside tackle. That's fine. We've got time to bring it in. We've got some excellent O-line coaches in Dallas. He can develop into that. He, you know, may not be Pro Bowl ready week one, but, you know, I see no reason why he can't mature into Pro Bowl ready by the end of the season.
Very true. So let's move to the second problem. And this is one that is significant. And there isn't really that much we can do or say in terms of this. And that is playing time. It is significant. I will say that given that he did have a reduced amount of snaps, which means that the floor is quite low for him. But this is how I feel about it, is that A, there's not that much tread taken off the tires with him, right? That means he's fairly fresh. And secondly, it does mean that he has, and me and you, Paul, spoke about this on JTech Show. It means he comes with less bad habits you need to coach out of him. And I think that's an important thing to take away. I don't know what you guys think. Tell me what you think about the lack of playing time with Guyton.
I don't see much of an issue, if I'm being perfectly honest. Like, I'd be more concerned if we were to draft a running back who had a lot of tread on his wheels during college. That would be more of a concern to me. Or a linebacker. Like, those type of players where injuries can alter your career and you can never, ever be the same again. Whereas if you're an offensive lineman, if you pick, like, where to get an injury, you can still play up to a high enough level. Like, we've seen that time and time over again with numerous offensive linemen, but you see the opposite effect with running backs and linebackers. They pick up a significant injury. They're not entirely the same player ever again when they come back. So I think from that perspective, I think it's not necessary. I mean, I get the experience thing does matter, but, and like you said, it's like, he doesn't have much bad habits. So we've got him like in a really good state where he can actually pick up the really good habits from Solari and like so learn from like so Zach Martin, learn from Tyler, learn from, well, maybe not so much Tyler with the hands, mind you, but But basically, we've got our. But when you look at it, like we've got what he's what 6'5", 6'6", over 300 pounds, athletic as anything, good feet. Like, what more can you want? A towering left tackle. It's going to overproceed that. So,
I mean, it is funny because when the pick happened, Tony Catalina and myself were speaking behind the scenes. We were chatting about it, and he was sending video clips and just like saying, "Well, what do you reckon?" And I said, "Well, the first thing that pops straight out, ignore what's going on the field. Just look at what you see just there right now before the play even happens. You go, okay, I can find Tyler Guyton very easily. I find him on the field straight away. That should be the first thing that stands out to you, that he stands out so significant and so easily on the field. That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, he is a presence, and the other things can be developed, but as long as he's got the presence, the athletic snap, the ability to... He may not have on-the-field experience, but he would have gone through the same tape watching, all that kind of play recognition, awareness, maturity that the starter would have. So actually, I'm fine with the fact that this isn't someone who's, you know, was in a they just picked up off a bar, you know, used to play lacrosse, and then next season he's in the NFL. This is someone who has developed during college. I am absolutely happy the fact that he's not coming in with bad habits or niggling injuries or you know, he's expended his best in college level. This is a prospect that can very quickly become an absolute force.
Definitely. I think if we, I mean, let's grade this pick, guys, right? If I was to grade the Tyler Guyton, because the floor is so low, given the reduced numbers of plays that he's had whilst in college, I'd give it a B plus. That's a healthy B plus. I can't get into the A just yet, but go on. What are you going for?
No, I totally agree with you. Like, you can't really put it on an A because of those factors of we haven't seen enough of him on the field to really get a good proper analysis on it. Yeah. So I find B plus is very well merited, like to really, but fair to assess that on the draft pick.
Yeah, B plus is what came to mind. There's no downsides to drag it down to the B where you're already thinking, you know, this could hold us back. But actually, yeah, B plus, and there's no impediments that can stop him continue to step up.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right, so we move on. And we get into the second round. So a lot's happening. We're trying to predict this pick as we're going along. We're seeing linebackers still available. We're seeing running backs. Thankfully, before the Cowboys pick, Jonathan Brooks came off the board. We were told Yeah, I know that was. In fact, as that pick happened, I made a tweet. I think it was just like the prayer hands, you know, the prayer emoji hands.
I know Brooks is a good player, but it's the injury concern that really put me off. And he's only played like one full season.
Not even a full season.
Yeah. And I still don't know how that's merited as a second round draft choice. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think because of the lack of a standout, he was as much of a standout as there could be. And people were like, oh, well, it has to be second. I wouldn't have been happy with it. It would have been definitely a reach to get him at 56. So I was more comfortable early in the third if we were going that way.
Yeah. I was like, you know, you want to get into like day three, you've got this extra third round pick that you want to tinker with. We can maybe do something early day three to make that something, you know, make something happen there.
Day three, third round picks on day two.
No. Yeah, I mean, like, I was happy in terms of running back. I was happy to tinker around with that third round pick to go and get us a fourth round pick and fiddle about with a running back. There is what I mean.
Ah, right. I see where you were getting at. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was the sweet spot this year for running back. But go on, Paul.
No, nothing.
Oh, okay. So what I was going to say is we spoke on this situation saying, look, pass rush is a sneaky read for the Cowboys when you stop and you think about it. The Cowboys were thinking the same thing too, because once it got to their pick, they took Western Michigan's Marshawn Kneeland. And I mean, when this pick happened, as soon as it did, it was kind of like, you know, like the big red flashing lights, and you're just like, ah, of course. And it does make a lot of sense. Dorrance Armstrong, gone. Dante Fowler, gone. DeMarcus Lawrence, in a contract year, he's getting long in the tooth now. Sam Williams, I mean, hopefully we get to see something happen with Sam. I mean, we get to speak to him next week. But you're hoping he's taking the next step. We've got Villamy, or Junior Fajoka, whatever he's going by now. You're waiting to see what happens. There's a lot of question marks when it comes to defensive end for the Cowboys. And they take Marshawn Kneeland. And, I mean, we'll talk about Kneeland now. I actually think this was a very, very smart pick. I mean, just to give it to you, that while he played in Western Michigan, he racked up a total of 28 tackles for a loss, which is not bad. What are you guys making of the Kneeland draft pick? By the way, he's been given the number 94 jersey, which I think is significant.
For me, I'm actually like, I was actually like, at first I was like, huh, like, because obviously, like, we knew that defensive end was a somewhat need in a way, but I didn't expect it to be in the third round. I think that's what kind of caught me by surprise. I would have put linebacker more priority, but again, the depth in linebacker was just like, is it really worth going for the second in there? But more I think about it, and actually reading up more about Kneeland, like, Kneeland was one of the players I didn't really take the time to look at, because I've primarily been looking at offensive line this year, primarily. Yeah. And when I kind of looked up more on Kneeland, so okay, he's definitely got a lot of good run-stopping attributes in terms of set on the edge, so that would definitely help benefit stopping the run, which has been one of our biggest weaknesses. So I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Same. I thought that linebacker was a pick here, but Edgerton Cooper was off the board earlier.
Yeah.
The other guy whose name escapes me, I think there's the fact that he fell that far means that there's more issues there.
Peyton Wilson.
Like, thank you. And people like Junior Colson, Trevin Wallace would have been a reach here. So understand how it went off. I haven't looked too much into him. I'm hearing, you know, I heard some people had edge of the first grades on him. Some people had fourth, fifth grades on him.
Yeah, I think Dan Bugler said this was a fantastic pick. I think he had and obviously our next pick, like, he had our next pick really highly ranked. But I think he gave Kneeland a really good grade. I think he was like inside the top 50 in that as well. So,
I mean,
I think he's going to do well.
Say again.
No, Kneeland was inside his top 50. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the right sort of tier for him, and you know, I think that there's positives out there. I personally thought that with the linebacker gone, they would have gone wide receiver here. They would have picked up a replacement for Gallup. WR3. Cooks. Yeah. He's only got 1 year left on his contract. I thought they would have gone someone. I'm just looking up who's around, but there were some definite prospects.
Sorry, Craig, to bust your bubble, but you've went very robotic for me. I don't know if it's just my end, but are you getting it, Mike?
It cut out in and out a little bit, yeah. But I got the gist of it.
We got the gist.
Yeah, I thought they would have gone Corley or someone like that as a future wide receiver too. But
okay,
Neyland seems to be the right tier for him. I need to know more, need to see more, have hope for him.
Like, I will say though, giving him the number 94 is kind of like maybe putting a bit too much pressure on him. But I think with this being such a very underrated pick, and people were kind of, but all right, okay, like we're not blown away and we're not disappointed. It's like makes sense. I think that this could potentially be one of the picks that may oversee what our early expectations are. It could be that Neyland could come off from the get go and really set the precedence here. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, like. He's got, I don't know if you've seen it on my Twitter, like a good play from Neyland, because I've got his scouting report coming out today. And there's this play where he's in the 3-point stance down on the left hand side, and the snap happens and he just stops in his tracks. He watches, he's looking into the backfield and he just stops. The entire line is trying to push and trying to crash. And he doesn't. He stops. He comes around the back of the line, almost like as a Mike linebacker in an instant. The ball gets dumped off to a running back who's running an option route in the middle. But because Neyland's read it and come across, and he's so agile, he's not exactly like quick. You know, his top end speed isn't insanely fast, but he's agile. Very agile, quick on the pins. And he comes across and he's just instantly on this running back. He wraps him up, causes a fumble. The ball's gone. And this is Neyland. This is what you get. And what I see in him is a little bit of Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
And that's not so much in terms of the... Go on, sorry.
Yeah, and that's something that we've been on the receiving end of twice a year. So if we're picking up a young Reddick, that could be a real investment.
Yeah. I'm what I'm seeing is like a guy who can play with his hand down, but he's better in the 2-point stance and moving and being mobile. When you see that, I just see this Hassan Reddick in him. Like in terms of the pass rushing, not so much. I mean, that does need some work. But in terms of everything else, I think Zimmer is going to put you think about this with like the Mike Zimmer defense. You know, he loves defensive ends with big bulky size. You know, he wants these big guys who can stop the run on the field a lot, because that's what you need. You need defensive ends who can defend the run, because then that leads to all the rest of the other things. And the good thing is for a guy like Neyland is he's already got guys like DeMarcus Lawrence on one side, and he's got Micah Parsons, who's going to be a little bit roverish, I feel, going into this season. And he's going to be the guy who's doing the work to get the sacks. I mean, there's another guy we're going to talk about in a moment who's very sneaky on blitzes. But this is how I feel it's going to go. And he just fills a slot. He fills a gap very nicely. For me, it's another B+. I don't know what you guys feel.
I think more of a B. I think that need to see more. I think Guyton's presence and his physical abilities are more apt. I think Neyland, the agility's there. I'd like to see how it fits in with the new scheme. I think because we've got a new scheme. We just need to see more how he fits into the scheme and how he's going to be used. Guyton's going to be used week one onwards. Neyland, let's see how much we see of him.
I will say this is going to suit Mike Zimmer to the T. This is definitely a Mike Zimmer pick, 100%.
I agree.
So for me, I'm giving it a B+. Because obviously
the fit.
It's the fit. And what he's best at, which is stopping the run, very similar to DeMarcus Lawrence. So the fact that we've now got two guys there at the set of the edge can actually do that. So that to me is very fundamental. So I think in terms of the logical choice, in terms of attributes, it's a great pick.
Yeah.
It could bump, I could push that up to an A, but we need to see more of it on the field when he's actually at training camps. And then we can make a better evaluation on it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I can't push it to an A, but I feel like a B or a B minus is just like way too low for what the potential is and how that fits into what Zimmer's going to be trying to get. He's going to be juicing it out of him for definite. But let's get on to the next guy. I think this is like the Cowboys' favorite pick in this year's draft, which is Kansas State's Cooper Beebe. Play guard. Some say he could play center. We're about to find out what they decide to do with him when we get to camp. Is he going to be Brock Hoffman's replacement, or is he going to be Zach Martin's replacement for next year? Or is he a bit of both, where he does one thing this year, you know, like they did with Smith, you know, in his rookie year and then his sophomore year, put him into one position and move him out to the other next? But Cooper Beebe, guys, now, value on this pick, astronomical. Yeah. I mean, this guy, he's going to pick number 73.
He was ranked 34th or 35th, or, well, he was the low 30s on Dane Boodler's The Beast.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
So he was basically a first round grade, essentially.
Yeah, just outside of, yeah. On my board, I think he was in the mid 30s as well. And I was just like, whoa. So this pick, ironically, was from the trade that they had with Detroit. So they use it to corral two offensive linemen, essentially, with one pick. For me, I mean, like you said, Paul, we go back to offensive line identity. When you look at what they have in Smith with the run blocking, the nastiness, the mauler attitude, you look at Guyton, size, athleticism, mauling attitude. Then you go to Cooper Beebe. And Cooper Beebe, if you haven't gone a year his interview about dirting players, I mean, like, the guy is a psycho, right? And I like that. I like that. And you know as well as I do, Paul, psycho attitude on the offensive line is maybe the best trait you can have. give it to me straight, guys. Cooper Beebe, how do we feel about this pick?
I freaking love it. I love it. Love the Beebe pick. I think everyone was quite surprised that we managed to get him. I wasn't too sure. Like, I think the consensus was we were going to go running back with that pick. But the fact that I'm so happy we doubled down on offensive line, and I'm going to use that point to a later point of discussion later on when it comes to running backs. But yeah. I think this is a fantastic pick. He has had snaps playing at center, not in a game, but he's had his former teammates at Kansas State. Yeah, you're right. Have stated saying, it's like, when it comes to our offensive line, they try and teach us to be that flexible. We train every single position. And a lot of last year, Beebe, even though he was playing guard, but he was training for center because he knew it would be a more selling point for him to be drafted. Is highly. And the fact that he's been working with Duke Manyweather as well.
There you go.
So I think it's a fantastic pick. His attitude, his philosophy of playing the game, like just the way Harry conducts himself, he just loves to play the game. And I'm just so excited to see him play it. Like, and already I'm more like, even though he's not played one snap, but if things go the way I expect it to be, that will be the next jersey I think I might buy.
Me and you were talking about that yesterday, weren't we? We're arguing about which jerseys to take. And I was like, the thing that tore me, that I was torn on, was when they gave Nealon 94. Only because it's just such a legendary number for the Cowboys.
I just hope that doesn't play an impact on Nealon, though. Is the expectations. That's the only qualm. If you gave him maybe like 92 from Dorns Armstrong, there'd be less less pressure on him, and that means let him do what he needs to do and set the standard. But now he's been given the 94. There is that little bit of expectation on him now.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I like it. But, you know, I mean, like, we could have said that with CD Lamb, and look how that's worked out.
Yep.
I think you'd be hard pressed to find a Cowboys fan who doesn't give this an A plus. I didn't even expect to see him out as our second round pick. I thought, as we said, he'd be gone in the 40s and so on, because he's got that potential and that attitude. So this was both a need pick and a BPA pick.
And not just that, I think he was probably one of the best regarded guards in this year's draft. If not the best, in certain people's pecking orders, essentially. I think quite a lot of people had BB as number one. Some people had him as number two, but the consensus is he is right up there. So
yeah, definitely. And to fall this far without attitude problems, without off-field problems, without injury problems, we absolutely nailed this pick. And like we were saying earlier, you've really got to see the 29th and this pick rolled into one. And that says we understand what we need on the offensive line, and that is attitude.
And not only just that, if you watch his game film and stuff like that, even when playing as guard, like, he's so, like, for a big guy his size, he can move very well. Like, pulling away to move up to the secondary, taking out linebackers, like, pushing them away 10 yards away. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And he just likes to smother on defensive linemen, like, just make them suffocate and put them down to the ground. That's exactly what we need for our run game right now.
Yeah.
Look, let's put it this way. Right, I'll go through some numbers and we'll talk about this with Cooper Beebe, right? So, 335 pound, right? That's a lumpy guy. That's a big guy, yeah. And he's nearly 6'4". He ran the 40-yard dash in nearly 5 seconds flat. 5.03, 94th percentile.
Wow.
Now, imagine a guy who's nearly 340 pound moving at speed. That's why he's so effective in combo blocks, because he just moves. And it doesn't even finish there, Paul. Broad jump of 109, 87th percentile.
Mental.
Explosive. But let's go through just some of the stats. So I went through them at the start of the week. So 1,315 pass blocking snaps over the last 3 years. In that time, 28 pressures allowed, which is fine. That's good. That's, you know, when you think about it, it's less than double digit pressures allowed per year, and only 2 sacks allowed. In 3 years.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Like, you could be excited about this pick.
And when you look at the teams that Kansas have played this year, like...
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, this... I was with you. When we had the conversation about the jersey, because the jersey selection is a very important... what's the word I'm looking for? Tradition. When we go to pick our jerseys, it's very, very important you get the one that you feel most strongly about. And I'm with you that I was on the 94 fence for a while. You took me down. It is BB. It has to be. He was the next one.
It has to be BB. I'm sorry, mate, but it has to be.
I agree.
Like,
you took
like off, the, you the took fact that like even his reaction to the phone call sold me already. He's like, "Hey Jerry, what's going on? Yeah, I'm ready to be a cowboy. Yeah, like because some of the phone calls that you do hear from draft picks is like, "Yeah, man, I'm just ready to get to work." Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can you not at least be excited? Like, whereas BB was like, "Oh, Jerry, yeah, man, yeah, I'll be there." I was like, "Can't wait to get there." And next thing you see, pictures of him wearing cowboy hats through the years and stuff like that. I was like, "Okay, this is the guy. This is the guy."
He's got the
nailed it on the character as well as BB.
Absolutely,
I agree. I feel in years to come, not straight away, but like we'll get past the rookie contract. I can see him being the guy who you see walk into the center field to take the coin. He's going to be a captain at some point. I just feel it. I can feel that's the direction this is going.
And that's probably the other thing as well. Like, he probably like, you can see the impact that he had with Kansas. He had that somewhat leadership quality, the way how he dominated that offensive line. Like, he knew what to do. Like, he knew how to bring structure to that old line. So with him, if he is going to be playing center, him with Tyler Smith side by side, it might actually help Tyler to not get flagged up as much as well. Need to think about that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's give this a grade. I think it's going to be unanimous here. I'm giving this an A plus. Yeah. I don't know about you guys. What are you going for?
Oh, I'm going for an F. No, I'm only kidding. No, A plus. It has to be an A plus. I'm sorry. For the value, for the type of player, for one of the best guards in this year's draft, and the potential upside, he's guard / center, and he's working with Duke Manny, whatever. Like, it's ticking a lot of these boxes. And for what we got him in the draft from a trade that we traded down for, you cannot give her anything but an A plus.
That's the thing for me. Premium.
This is one top. Yeah, this is one. Oh, sorry, go on.
It was essentially a freebie.
Yeah.
Freebie was a BB was a freebie. There we go.
For me, I'm with you. And I think the cherry, or not the cherry, the thing that you've got to add into it is he was a free pick. So that's the A plus reason. But go on.
BB was
absolutely a BB. This is an A plus. This is knock it out the park. This is one of the steals out of any team in the draft. And we have absolutely nailed it in terms of need, character, BPA. Yeah, this was the high watermark for Cowboys.
Yeah,
it's definitely a steal. I wouldn't say it's quite the steal what the Atlanta Falcons did in their first round.
Oh, Christ.
No, yeah. That was a shotgun to the foot.
I've just done the Falcons draft review, and it's tough. It's tough because even they make the first pick, and what you see with the Falcons pick is a great lesson in draft sequencing, because they do that. They take the quarterback, and now their whole draft is out of whack, because then they take Rook Hororo with the next pick when there's other defensive tackles they could have taken. I'm trying to remember who was the guy who was available to them. He was one of the it's Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton's there, but
that's right, from Illinois.
Yeah, and they're just all over the place. They take Rook and you go, okay. But the whole thing is now they're just trying to play catch-up with their draft and their whole sequencing's out. It's a great lesson in how draft sequencing works.
I mean, you can see the fan reactions from the actual stadium. They were not happy.
No, I mean, I gave it a C, and literally no Falcons fans disagreed. They were just like, this is bad. It doesn't make any sense.
I'll be back in two minutes.
I mean, we'll talk about the next guy while we're here then. And with the next third round pick, linebacker was a need, so they take at pick number 87 the Notre Dame linebacker Maurice Leafu. Now, I think of all the picks they made so far, they were all on point. But I will say that this one I didn't like as much as the others. I tell you what, this is how I'll do it. I'll give you my grade first. I still give this a B, right? I'll get your take first, Craig, and I'll see if I can talk you down if you feel that this isn't a very good pick. And some people will say they'll have problems with it. I will explain in a moment why I like it and what he's going to do. But hit me with it. What did you think of this pick initially?
This was the biggest head scratcher. This was someone who came a bit out of left field. This was, he was getting late fourth, early fifth round grades. I know we'd got the high watermark, the steal earlier in the third round. Even if we weren't looking at running back, and that's a discussion for later on or another day, there was some real talent. I think we talked to, there was some real talents there. We hadn't really tapped out wide receiver yet. We hadn't built up the defensive tackle position much. This felt a stretch. And I've seen a few things. A few people have been a bit positive about him. Again, attitude. Again, play recognition. I don't know if that's enough to shift it into B-minus territory for me yet. I'm going to have to see more.
Right. So here's the things, right? So he has he does have issues with missed tackles, right? I will say that. I believe it's 17 missed tackles in the last two seasons, which is a concern. So tackling technique is something you're going to need. But he shows good awareness. He shows a very high Q guy, right? As I say, go and watch. I've done it today on my Twitter. A play, again, that a good play. So I always do one positive, one negative, no matter what. I've done a positive play with Maurice, and the guy just, he's square to the line. He's doing exactly something I always say linebackers should all do in run defense. So stay square to the line, and they go slow before you know. So he's shuffling across, he's watching. And as soon as he sees the running back coming across, he cuts, he scrapes, textbook. Comes across, hits the running back, and that guy is down, and it's a huge play. Fantastic tackle. Wraps him up. That's it. Game over. So what you see with him is these fantastic plays where he's watching, he's recognizing, and he plays with a very aggressive demeanor, very aggressive, hot motor is what he has. This is the thing that lands him in trouble the most. So his part is, it's both a positive and it's his blessing and his curse, right? So he has this fantastic first step when the snap happens. He walks, explodes, he goes. But he's playing with his hair on fire so much, he will miss the tackle because he wants to lay the big hit. He always wants to lay the big hit. So that causes him to miss tackles. The other thing he'll do is he will run himself out of position. Or he will cause himself to have a misstep because he's just playing so fast and so on fire. He doesn't realize that he's doing these things. I think if you can teach him patience and you can teach him to come down a shade, and I've always said this, me and Paul talked about this before, right? Which do you think is easier, guys? To have a player whose motor is red, red hot, and you bring him down, so you like say, oh yeah, this is great. Energy levels are great. You know, you know your stamina levels and all of this is great. I just need you to come down one level. I think that's a lot easier than having a guy that plays at say a 6, and you want him to play at 8.
Yeah,
I'd rather have a guy who's at 10 and bring him down. That to me is more coachable. That's easier. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, especially over time, and particularly if, you know, you're coming back from an injury, it's harder to continue to climb that mountain. It's better to be higher and to rein it in, to teach technique, to teach recognition. He feels like someone who will explode in the middle of the second year because he's just reached that point where, yep, everything clicks. I think looking on in reflection, knowing now that we weren't going to do anything in the fourth round, I think because there is such a fall from here, this was our last guaranteed starter one. So I don't know if we have the patience or have the time to invest in a prospect here. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I totally agree. For me, like, we know like Samaras is actually like you said, very high motor. The one thing that really impresses me about Morris is like he is very of a commander in ship type of role.
Definitely.
And to me, he's like a more hyperactive Polynesian version of Sean Lee.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. Yeah. But he does have a bit more flaws than what Sean Lee did. But that's the best.
Coming out of college, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best comparison I can actually say about Morris. I cannot pronounce his surname. My God.
Liffle.
I still won't be able to get it.
But I tell you another thing he's going to do, which I feel in his rookie season is really going to help him come along and be
Eric
really good
Kendricks.
Eric Kendricks is a big thing, but I also think that the way he gets to show off how good he is on special teams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be, yeah, especially when it comes to, like, field goal kicks, like, blocking them.
Yeah, he's just going to be that guy who you just fire down, and you know the open field tackles he needs to work on. But I do feel he's gonna be really good. The way he scrapes, right? You go back and watch the way he can scrape is fantastic. It's textbook. He's hitting those 45 degree angles, absolutely spot on. You see it, and he gets into power position so quick because he's so explosive and well balanced that he gets onto his toes with a wide base so quickly into power position. It's brilliant. I love it. When I seen it, I was just like, I love this. But yeah, it's ticking boxes for me. So for me, I've already said this. This is a B grade for me. It's not B minus, not B plus, because he does have work to do. But it's a pick that has a lot of upside because he's cerebral, because he's high IQ, he's blue collar, he's high motor guy. There's too many positive traits here to say like that. He's less than this.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was tempted to kind of push it up to a B plus based on.
That's fine. Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, again, it's definitely not an A.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is things that he needs to still work on, but I think his actual traits in terms of his intelligence, to be able to read the play, and his high motor is definitely, and from where we got him in that late part of the third round, I thought. It's actually still not pretty bad value, I thought, so I'll give it a B+.
Yeah, Craig?
Yeah, maybe B-. All those points about it. I think it's just because we had to hit with these four, and we did clearly hit with the first three. This feels like a year two. Prospect. I don't know. Again, happy to be proved wrong if he has a breakout season, or if Kendricks doesn't see the field as much as we'd like him to. But I think that there needs to be some development there.
I mean, that's the beauty about this, Craig, is the fact that we love to be wrong. We love to eat humble pie. I certainly know I do. If I'm wrong about someone, damn, I would love them to prove me wrong more than anything. Because end of the day, they're playing for our team, and nothing like I will still root for those guys, whatever or not. But if I am wrong in my assessment, I'll hold my hand up. It's like, okay, wow, you definitely changed my whole perspective. So, so hopefully Maris can actually do that.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping that is certainly the case for the next pick. Now. We started the show and we got into day three and we had to wait a long time. We waited a long time for pick 174 to come around. When it did, they made quite a surprise pick. Now, this is probably my least favorite pick of all the picks they made, is Kalen Carson, the quarterback from Wake Forest. Now, I will say his 2022 tape, if you watch it, is much better than his 2023. I don't know why there was the slip. I don't know what happened. I need to maybe investigate that a little bit more. But we all knew cornerback was a need, right? You've got Trayvon Diggs coming off an ACL. We don't know where that's going to go. Jordan Lewis in a contract year. And Stephon Gilmore's gone. He may come back because the jersey number switch has been made. But it was a need. Now, my issue with Kalen Carson... he allowed 60% completion rate last season and allowed 4 touchdowns. With that, he got 0 interceptions. 2022 is much better, mind, okay? But I'm not sold on this pick right now. Now, I'm sure once we get into training camp, once we see a little bit more of him, you know, we have these shock guys come out all the time. But give it to me, guys, what you feel on Kalen Carson, bearing in mind we have the third-round pick with Maurice LeFou, and we waited all our time, and this is what we got. Tell me what you think.
I mean, we knew corner was a secret need. In a way, I am somewhat happy to address that. Me, personally, I would have preferred someone else.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But... I don't really know. Like I said, I haven't done that much research on the cornerbacks this year. Like, and it's not really my position of expertise. Like, I'm more of a D-line, O-line guy. Yeah, yeah. Like, anything you need to know about that, that's my bread and butter. But so I can't really possibly comment. I'm just, in a way, I'm just happy that we have kind of somewhat addressed it.
Yeah, I would have been happier if we'd gotten Stephon Gilmore signed up, and this is a depth pick. This is a potential learn under him. I don't know as much about him as earlier on, just because of...
It will be a depth pick. It will be. Because when you think about it, Bland was essentially a depth pick, but he really stepped up when he was given the starting role, when Diggs went out, and look what happened.
Just to cap it off,
for me, it was seeing what happened next and knowing that we've got other areas with even less depth, and the fact that Jalen Ford had been someone who had been linked strongly to the Cowboys and then we didn't go there, I would have been much happier. And Jalen Ford seems to be closer to being a starter and more of a Cowboys character in terms of what we were saying around attitude and meanness and so on. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, the issue I have is just, like, what was available there, essentially, is what annoys me. You wait all this time and this was the pick. The only thing I will say is you've already brought up the thing I was thinking about earlier in the week. Right, I don't like this pick at all. But nobody had heard of Deron Bland, who was a fifth-round pick, when he came through. And look how that's worked out. So I reserve judgment for the time being. But when you go through it, his statistics are not good. I mean, he, last season in 2023, allowed a 98. And it's not the be-all and end-all, but he allowed a 98. Passer rating allowed. I always say it just gives you like an idea of where these guys are at. And I just think, yeah, that's not great to be going in there. And also in the 4 years playing at Wake, he only recorded 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
It's not a great resume.
Yeah. I'm going to reserve my judgment on him.
It's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I can't bash a player when I haven't really seen much of him. And a lot of people need to kind of remember as well. This is kind of going back to my point when we're talking about like undrafted free agents and stuff like that. If you haven't watched the guy, you can't really possibly comment on him. So, just reserve your judgment. Watch training camp. Watch how, try and grab footage of the OTAs and get an idea what he's all about. Do you think he's going to be fitting into the Zimmer system? I mean, that could be one of the things as well we've not actually talked about. Like, he might necessarily be playing well on that system at Wake Forest. It might actually suit him better under Zimmer's program. Who knows? There is those other aspects as well. So Zimmer is, like, for the short time he's been here, he did definitely had a list of guys that he really wanted. And like I said, if it was me, I would have picked someone else. Yeah, but, and like Tim just mentioned, we just need to believe in Will McClay. We do. Yeah,
it is true.
Just nine times out of ten, McClay has normally hit it out the park 9 times out of 10. Obviously, last year was a wee bit of a... there's still time for that from last year. We can put the full jury on last year's draft just yet, but the majority of Will McClay's decisions on the draft have turned out pretty fairly decent.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the Deron Bland thing for me, why I hold back. Because, like, when Deron Bland happened, I was like, I was like, I don't like that with this pick.
Well, put it this way, I think already I would prefer Carson to Bossman Fat, put it that way.
And I mean, cornerback was a need. So that's why I give this a B-, purely because it's a cornerback. Cornerback's a need, but there's a lot of underlying questions with him.
Yeah, I mean, if it were me at that point, it's like we could have easily got ourselves another defensive tackle, another a big run stopper, much more better graded. at that point. But yeah, it's what it is. And we just need to root for the guys. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. This is a ungraded question mark. Let's see what we see of him.
Yep, totally.
Yes. So another position of need for the Cowboys, believe it or not, and really, really is, I believed it was actually a bigger need than what the Cowboys were letting on. That's wide receiver. So they go out and they get a wide receiver from Southeast Missouri State, Ryan Flournoy. Now, when this pick came in, everybody went, eh? It was really, really confusing. Now, I will give you in a moment, I'll bring it up because I put it on my Twitter, is his RAS score. And I'll bring that up in a moment because that is significant. And when you get into this late into the draft, you're finding traits, whatever it is you're looking for. You're picking one thing, traits or athleticism. We know where they've gone here with this guy. But tell me, guys, what you think of Ryan Flournoy. And I'm telling you now, once I looked at the RAS score and I've looked at things, I've had a little scout about with him. I actually think he's right there next to Tolbert and Turpin in where this could actually slot into place. But give it to me. Tell me what you think of this guy.
Based on the evaluations of him, it seems to be a very promising surprise.
Yeah.
Like you said, we did not know who this guy was. Like based on the school and where he plays and stuff like that, but his RAS score is literally off the chain, really impressive. I think he was like pretty much right up there in the like top ranks among all wide receivers in this year's draft.
It's very interesting.
Which kind of begs the difference. Like, why hasn't no one actually talked about this guy? Is it purely because of the competition he's playing in schools? But when you do look at I've only seen a couple of clips of him.
Mm.
I'm actually quite intrigued. I'm very interested to see how training camp pans out for him. But I think for as minimum expectations as from him right now as punt return as of right now. I think that could be the first step for him is obviously make it into the roster, but if anything, I think if he does get into the roster, I think the first step is he'll be there on special teams and gradually move his way up. But I think the potential upside, like you said there, mate, he could overtake Tolbert.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a could.
I think this is a really good find. I saw a comment, I think it was today or yesterday, where one of his teammates said that the best comp for him is Dez Bryant. If we get a large physical receiver, you know, Gallup pre-injury, this late in the draft, then this could be a real, real surprise win for us.
Mm-hmm.
Will he get enough receptions to be able to sort of show his talents, to be able to take the next step and actually start challenging for that wide receiver too? Hopefully. I think the Tolbert has sort of, I don't know if he's missed his chance or just never made that step, but this really could be a prospect to watch.
I think with Tolbert this year, this is his chance this year, because Jerry was banking on Gallup really stepping up, coming back from his injury and actually justifying his pay, essentially. Like, you had to play him based on his income. Like, what's the point having a player on the bench who's on X amount of millions of dollars a year where, like, there was just no need. Like, so I think now that that's been cleared off now, both Tolbert and Flournoy are basically on rookie contracts. And obviously you've got Brandon Cooks there as the support to CD Lamb. It's like there is going to be a good, decent... And don't forget, we've got Jalen Brooks in there as well.
Yeah. So they're high on Jalen Brooks.
Oh, absolutely. I love Jalen Brooks. I think he deserves more opportunity for sure. So I think in terms of the rotation of the number three is going to be very competitive.
Mm. And very important too. But here we go, guys. I'll give it to you straight. So for Flournoy, in the last 2 years, nearly 2,000 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns, and last season, 56 receptions and only one drop.
Yeah. Now, that's the statistic that really caught my eye, was
The drops.
And what thing did we really struggle last year? Dropping passes. When you really think about it, like, from in terms of what the Cowboys have done this year, they are addressing the things that hurt us last year.
Significantly,
offensive line in terms of the run game, like run stopping on the edge, like it can't be all dependent on DeMarcus Lawrence all the time. Then you've got linebacker depth, like we need numbers for linebackers. We were so short of it. Now we brought in a wide receiver, like, and our biggest weakness last year for in terms of our wide receivers was dropping passes, for where it was from Lamb, from Gallup to Cooks. Every one of them was for that. So I think this is actually quite a very underrated draft pick.
Yeah. Here we go. I'll give you the combine then, right, guys? Mm-hmm. So his total RAS score, let's just start there first. So it goes to 10. His total RAS score was 9.89. So
it's amazing.
That's, you're in elite status, okay. So he has a vert of 39.5, which is 94th percentile. He has a broad jump of 1,100 inches. So that was 98th percentile, but this is where it gets interesting.
Right? Yeah, his 4-yard dash was 4.44.
Yes, which it is 88th percentile. But his 10-yard split was 1.52, which is electrifying. That is so. Dez Bryant, you gave that comp earlier. His was 1.48. But he's 93rd percentile. But yours, what's even more interesting, Paul? So you've got the agility, you've got the speed, you've got the explosiveness, mm-hmm. you've got the power. Now you've got the strength as well. He ended up cranking out 19 reps on the bench.
For a wide receiver, that's ridiculous.
That is a lot. When you're only 200 pounds. I mean, 19 reps.
That's almost what DK Metcalf did, right?
Yeah. It's 91st percentile.
Jeez.
Yeah. So this guy is an athletic freak. So when you start...
But at the same time, we do need to remember he is like a sixth round draft choice. We need to kind of keep low expectations still.
The expectations come as a result of where he's at. And you kind of like, well, why are you at Southeast Mizzou State? Why are you playing there? So there's always a reason. But sometimes guys do get missed. It does happen. But, yeah, I mean, like, we're talking about the production. We've got to remember the production he's up against, you know, the competition he's up against. So this guy is obviously... You know, he's at a smaller school. He's out producing everybody. He's athletically off the charts. And I think that's what they've keyed in on, is that there's obviously the... And like you say, Paul, you're into the 200s. Yeah, so he's picked 216. You're just trying to find something, a baseline to work with and work on. You've got the athleticism. You've obviously got clear production. Now let's see what you can do. I think, personally, he's going to be... depending on how this goes, on how he takes to coaching, because that we don't know. If he can, I think we're looking at a guy who's pushing for wide receiver 3, definitely wide receiver 4 going forward. So for me, in terms of just the RAS, the athletic scoring, this is a B+ for me. I really like this in the day 3. I don't know what you guys think, but that's my particular score. Give me yours.
Based on, on your go, Craig.
Oh, just simple for me, A-. I think that there's a real potential here. RAS score, you know, the physicality, the stats that he was able to put up, and let's see if this slips into a B or actually holds in the A. This could be a real prospect for us.
I'm gonna keep the expectations to like pure baseline. I'm gonna just give it a straight B at the moment. I know there's so many good traits here, but I am just kind of like, okay, we haven't seen him play against top tier, essentially. I really want to see how he deals with our corners like Deggs and stuff like that. So for now, I'm going to stick with a B at the moment.
Yeah, I'm in the B range. Just like you say, because you don't know what it is you're going to be dealing with here. Like you say, there's question marks. Competition is everything. And that's the big thing. That's why SEC players are so inviting, because you know that they're playing at the top, at the highest level. So, yeah, I mean, that's that pick. Then the Cowboys, they have just a short dance for their next pick. And they take another offensive lineman. So, Nathan Thomas from Louisiana, he joins Asim Richards, Matt Wilexo, Josh Bull, Matt Fournier, and Tyler Biadasz, who have all been taken in the third round since Mike McCarthy has been head coach. He loves his day. Third round. Day three. Sorry, not third round, but day three offensive lineman. So there's clearly a pattern with Mike McCarthy with this. Obviously, of all those guys, it's only been Tyler Biadasz who's staked claim to a starting role. But what do we think of Nathan Thomas from Louisiana, guys? Give it to me straight. What is your... Now, he's 6'5", 334 pounds. He's a big old lump. But give it to me what you think of him, and then I'll give you a quick rundown.
Well, he has had snaps at right tackle, I believe. So he could be there as the rotation or backup to Terrence Steele, depending on how well he can perform this year. So, again, I think it's just trying to cause less damage to what happened to us last year. Try and fix any gaps, potentially. And like you're saying, mate, like, the attributes are there, the size, the actual weight of them as well. Like, I'll be honest, like, Thomas is not one of the guys I did get to see much footage of. But the stuff I did see, he looked pretty decent. For where he's playing, that it's fairly decent. So, again, I'm gonna just like wait and see, and see how he does within the number twos. Like, because he'll pretty much be like protecting Trey Lance quite a lot during training camp under the twos right now. He won't be in the starting lineup just yet, so I'll be I'll be paying more attention to the backups in terms of that, with him and TJ Bass, etc. So that'll be something to watch.
Go on, then, Greg.
Yeah, again, less understanding of him, but in general, I'm happy that we triple dipped on the offensive line. I'm happy that we've got the depth there. We do have holes that are starting to age. So if this gives us some confidence in this new approach of being physical on the line and of bringing forward the next guard, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, it's a seventh round pick, right? So we know this isn't going to be like a blow you out of the water. I mean, the guy, 37 pressures the last 2 years. Last season, he allowed 5 sacks. And the big one for me that's an issue is he had 7 flags called against him in the last 2 seasons, which shows that there's something going wrong with him. He's definitely a project guy, I think. You know, we talked about Josh Ball. He was an end of day 3 type guy. I know Ball's slightly different. I mean, I didn't like that pick from the start. But, you know, this one, I'm kind of just like, well, let's wait and see. Like you said, Paul, he's going to be running with the twos and third stringers. See what he does when he's out there doing his thing. He is a big guy. He sticks with the theme that we talked about of big athletic guys who are maulers. So,
yep, it's changed. It really is changing the identity of the O-line.
Yeah, the pattern is emerged.
If anyone's going to benefit the most from this, it's going to be Zach Martin.
Yeah. But, I mean, for me, this is a depth piece for now. I feel there are better guys on this roster than what Thomas is. But we always say it, offensive linemen, you can't have enough of them on your roster. And they've taken another one. For me, this is just a C+. I mean, basically, he doesn't have great production. It's a seventh round pick, so it's hard to say at this stage. It's more of just a wait and see sort of grade.
Yeah.
All right. And then let's get to the last guy. Now, this one, changed again for me. This is a much better pick. Justin Rogers from Auburn. Me and you, Paul, talked about nose tackle in the draft.
Yep.
So they do go out and get one. A 350-pound, 6'3" defensive lineman offers not a lot in terms of pass rush, but in terms of run stopping and crashing the A gaps, he is very good. And he anchors fantastically.
Yeah. Again, the Cowboys are identifying our weaknesses from last year and trying to address that. Mm-hmm. So that alone to me is merited, like a half decent grade already.
Yes.
Like, he's not like Quentin Bohanna, who's just basically a vessel standing in on the defensive line, not moving. Whereas Rodgers can move, he can increase into the double teams and get into the backfield and get tackles for loss. So he has proven that. For me, I think my issue with Rodgers is when he's fully engaged, like he tends to have a tendency of slightly giving up a little bit. Like as long as he doesn't have the upper hand, like the initial upper hand, he seems to kind of like lose out the play. That's the only issue I really do have with him.
Yeah. Go on, Craig.
Yeah. Another investment in the trenches. Happy with that. We'll, see how he develops. If he is going to get in some time with the snaps, he needs to be able to embrace whatever Zimmer brings in. And I think if he keeps up with what some of the analysts have said around his ability to break covers, then yeah.
See. Yeah, here's what's important for me, right? First of all, the guy he's only just 20. He's like 22 years of age in like 5 months, right? So he's young. We've lost Hankins. There's question marks on Mazi Smith. So you need to do something. You need somebody in that. And, we spoke about, Paul, about the defensive start, trying to break this defensive stop in down. They need to build that up. Marshawn Neeland was one of those picks. Maurice Laifu, he's just as good. He's also good at blitzing as well. So that lines in with Zimmer. I think Rodgers does too, lines in with Zimmer. So whilst he played in college over the 3 years, Kentucky and Auburn, 94 tackles, 7 tackles for a loss. And that's all great. That's fine. But we've always said it with defensive tackle and nose tackle, it's the statistics that there's things that they do that aren't on the stat sheet, which is unfortunate. So, and Rodgers is fine in what he does. He's not going to be a complete two-gapper, but he is going to anchor down. Once he anchors and he sets his feet and he puts down, he is really hard to move. He is a tough guy to... You really struggle to get leverage on him, and that's what I like. And for me, that's why I give this a B+. Go on, Paul.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the best player comparison I could think of is Jarrell Johnson, a player that who Mike Zimmer drafted back in 2018, I think it was.
It could be.
He was a fourth round pick for the Vikings back in 2018. Mm. Like, and the thing with Rodgers, he is a bit heavier, but in terms of similar get off, being like the anchor one tech, essentially, very similar to what is like your expectation, like it fits the Zimmer way of how he wants to fit his defense. So I think that's actually quite interesting.
Yeah. And with Hankins gone and with so many questions shrouded with Mazi Smith, you have to get a nose tackle. And that's why I give this a B+. And it's the last pick. And I'm all up for, with one of your last picks, just going out. And if you want to go and get a run-stopping nose tackle, that's the place to do it. You want to get, take a swing on some quarterback, that's the place to do it. Use it with one of your last picks and it's fine. But overall, I think with the Cooper Beebe pick, which is so important, This for me is an A minus grade, generally overall.
I'm going to give it a B plus. Like,
I like that.
Like, overall, fine, but there's still more potential upside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's just a matter of when these players are actually put into the position under the scheme, then that's where you can really see if these players are going to elevate up or not.
Yeah.
But in terms of where we got these certain players, the value, needs, etc. Well, I'll do it two ways of grading it. In terms of getting a player at certain positions in the draft, yeah, it's in the A's. But in terms of the potential outcome of it, then it's a B+.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards more the B plus tier. We did exactly what we wanted, what I wanted them to do. Moved around, got the additional pick. We, as Paul's been saying, we've been able to address our vulnerabilities from last year, so we're not in a worse situation. I think what dragged it out of the A tier is that I think a bit of inactivity, a bit of caution crept in. And so because we didn't do anything in the fourth, because there are some, we let a few things slip.
Speaking about that fourth round, the fact that we're not giving Trey Lance that fifth year option.
Makes sense, what, mind.
But there could be a reason to that. It could be LVE all over again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To me, why would you give a fifth-year option to a quarterback who hasn't played? You're going to give him all that guaranteed money for what? What are you giving it to him for? So you may as well not give it to him, see how he does this year, wheel back round next season and go, look, here it is. And you know, you're not losing or gaining anything because he's just a backup quarterback at this stage. And you just go, look, here's what we're offering you. We've worked with you these last 2 years. What do you think of this on paper?
Not even a year, Mike. It's been 6 months, essentially.
I mean, like, when you come round, so, you know, there have been two seasons you win, but, yeah, a season and a half. So, you know, you kind of like go, this is what we'll offer you. Come back. We'll see if there's anything more in the tank. You know, that's how I see how that's going to go. And to answer the question on the UDFAs, we're going to do that next week because they're a whole class on their own. And it gives us a chance over the weekend to scour them out.
I'll be honest, mate. Next week, I'll probably be listening, if I'll be honest. Like, the only one I know is Pete, the running back, who, like, a lot of people mocked me for this, but I actually think Pete's actually fairly decent.
Yeah. And like, the tight end, the double-barrel tight end.
Yeah, Span.
Brem Span, he's really good.
Six foot six.
Keep an eye on him. Tight ends, I think, you know, you got a nice fight going on now because you got Princeton Fant, you've got Stevens, you've got now Brevin Spanford coming in through as well. A little bit of a battle going on there.
I'll tell you what, if I was Peyton Hendershot, I'd be quite worried.
Yeah, even Schoonmaker. I know we spent a second on him, but...
I think Hendershot's... Yeah, I mean, like, I got asked a question about guys who... This was before the draft, in the mailbag. They said, who's a guy you could see? And I was like, Chauncey Golston's one. Another one, Peyton Hendershot. Like, what are you doing with these guys?
Yeah, because we don't know, like, even though I really do like Chauncey Golston, but whether Zimmer wants that hybrid...
That's the problem.
Does he want that hybrid where a guy can play a 5-tech and a 3-tech at the same time?
He's not that type of guy.
He rather prefers to have players stuck to their positions on the defense. He's not like Dan Quinn, completely
opposite. No. And you think with Golston, he's too light to be like a 3-tech, you know, to be a 3-tech, and he doesn't offer you enough in terms of pass rush to play him as defensive end. So, like, what are you doing with him? So, him and Hendershot, I feel concerned about at this stage. But there we go. We're going to be doing all of that next week. So let's get into this and we can get out of here. Hit me with it, Paul.
Yes, guys, if you're planning on to a Dallas Cowboys game this year, be sure to go to cowboysexperience.com for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more.
And what happens if you tell them the UK Cowboy sent you?
You get free stuff and discount on your next package.
That's right, baby. Yes, so that is it for us this week. We are getting out of here. So we will be back next Thursday. We're not on Tuesday. We're now into the off-season program. So, yes, we'll look at UDFAs next week, and then we'll get into the position breakdown series.
But before you do, though, I think there was a question regards to the schedule release. We do not know the exact date as well, but I do believe it's in a week or two. That's all we know. It's definitely no more than the 16th of May, I believe. No more than that. So it's within 2 weeks, I believe.
I've seen an email from one of the teams that says it's next week. So
next week, there we go.
There we go. Lovely.
Well, that means I can book my flights. Yes.
Yes. So have a nice weekend, guys. Stay safe. We will be back next Thursday. We're going to keep reviewing. So have a great weekend. I had the first word. So these guys are going to have the last word. Have a good one, guys. See you on the other side.
As usual, Dallas forever, Philly for never, folks.
Ring on 2024.